Speaking of memories, as I did, the word remember appears in the Bible 136 times. And in Psalm 77:11, it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Now is our time to remember what the Lord has done through Crown Ministry since its inception. And it's kind of an annual report to the Crown family. And we will give you some numbers now, but that's only so you can begin to understand sort of the scope of what you personally are involved in. What is our mission? What is our strategy? What is God doing through His people with this tool? What can we look back on today and thank Christ for what He's done? What do we need to pray and trust God for in the near future? Well, you probably all have seen our mission statement, training people to be financially faithful in order to know Christ more intimately and be freed to serve Him. You may not have seen our strategy, which is for the Lord to have a pervasive and strategic impact on 222 major metropolitan areas of our country through the vehicle of the Crown Small Group Study in the local church. Those are the cities that are over 100,000 in population. You may not know our motto, dedicated to teaching financial faithfulness. I didn't know it for a couple of years till I saw it on one of our checks one time. So now we're going to look and see what have we done right in the past 8 years. Well, first of all, we've survived. We've grown into a national ministry. Now, it's easy to say that, but stop and think a minute. It's 1985. Some guy has a vision that he can put together a Bible study, and he starts writing a little Bible study on finance. Now, we have Larry Burkett, who's a household name in America and probably on, you know, several hundred radio stations. Ron Blue has an organization that's well-known around the country. There have been somewhat around 200 books published in the Christian market on personal finance. There are hundreds of speakers traveling the country doing financial seminar. And this guy thinks he can have a Bible study that will affect 222 metropolitan areas. And he did, but God did. And you know the rest of the story, but we'll still tell you some of what's happened. Crown has been a good steward of the God-given ministry. We've had a solid, faithful core that's met regularly, spent three nights, three times a year in each of our homes. We've loved each other, prayed together, pray for each other faithfully. We know each other. We've laughed together. We've cried together. And thanks to Ross, we've overeaten together. We were meeting down in the woods outside of Houston. A fellow gave us a place to meet last December, and it was Friday morning, you know, and how everybody fasts on Friday morning. And so I went in, and I smelled bacon and eggs and sausage and rolls. I mean, you name it. And Ross was there just in the height of his glory, you know. I thought we fasted on Fridays. I always fast before breakfast, he said. So you can see, you know, part of why I think we're a family is that we do have a family. And we're just thrilled to have you all be a part of it. We've had a go-slow approach. As you know, our delivery system is through the local church. Our materials are excellent. Boy, have you ever been to a conference even where you've had the kind of excellence in materials that we have here? And aren't you proud to hand out the Crown Manual to people, even just to show it to them? We have a faithful board and a good composition. I'll mention more of that later. Crown Chronicles is an excellent tool. It's being widely read, and people like the cartoons. This is our sixth annual conference. We do belong to ECFA, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we comply with that. Another simple little statement. We now have compliance to operate legally in 49 states. That sounds so easy, but believe me, it's taken hundreds of hours of work and literally tens of thousands of dollars in the kind of a country we live to have one employee in one state and their annual reports. But we, by the grace of God, now are legal in 49 states and the District of Columbia. We do have a policy manual. Not all companies get that down. Our fundraising, what has been done, has been gracefully done. And in addition, the navigators have very generously given us some counsel a couple of times when we've met this year. We've maintained a clear focus. Our leadership has been faithful. That's the reason that many of you are here. You've been very faithful to lead Crown and to be involved in many ways. Obviously, Crown has encouraged prayer. My own personal life, prayer life has increased. That's probably one of the major benefits from Crown Ministries. My CPA was thrilled to learn that we now have a lockbox in Orlando so that all funds that go in go directly to the lockbox. None of us out in the field are handling it. That's been a great improvement. Our board decided if we were an organization that taught financial principles, we should live financial principles. And so early on, we set aside 3% of our income to go into a Joseph's Fund for some kind of emergency that we're sure the Lord has told us to be prepared for. Obviously, in Crown, the Lord is changing people. He's probably changed most of you as you've studied His Word. I was studying the multiplication principle some time back, and I noticed in the Bible that the Word of God multiplies. And I thought, you know, we talk about the impact of Crown, but have you ever thought why? Do you realize that everybody that goes through Crown not only memorizes 12 verses, many times it's the first verse they've learned in their life, but they look up over 400 scriptures, write out the answers to those scriptures, come to a class and hear 400 scriptures read again, often out of a different translation, and hear people share? No wonder. The Word of God is quick and powerful and multiplying. So that's why Crown has an impact. We've continued to mature leadership. Some of you may have noticed that people here who have a responsibility have somebody in training this year. We're getting prepared when we'll have regional conferences, and in case something happens like it did to Will and Carol, we'll have somebody prepared to take their place. We're beginning to know how to impact a city, but we're not there yet, as most of you know who are working in a city. We do have a lean staff. There's still only about 4 full-time workers in the national office. We have established, by the grace of God, some relationship with some national foundations. And our administration at least has kept us from going down the tube. We have a way to go, but it's greatly improved each year. One of the most exciting things about Crown is that it has enabled some people who have never been fully utilized in the kingdom to have a position of leadership, to have a ministry. I think one of the most thrilling things, and many of you are here, I can spot you from our area, people who have been in your church for years, but you never had a ministry in the life of somebody else. And the Crown tool has provided that. And we thank God for that. And part of that's because of our relational approach. We have some computer standards. We're in our third database. And there will be another database. We hope the last one. But we're well along the way on that. And so that's good. That's good news for you, but it's still going to be a few months, so don't get too excited. This is something you'd hardly ever hear from a ministry, but we have avoided most publicity, and we've done that deliberately. And I'm not going to explain that, but if you have a chance to have an interview in the paper or on the radio, we'd appreciate it if you'd check with the national office, as we have some material that we'd prefer for you to hand out, and we're really not after it. Our financially free staff has doubled in the last year. As you know, Crown is multi-generational and multicultural. Our board made a safe harbor decision some years ago, which means we will not operate in gray areas because we want to be lily white when it comes to finances. Our voicemail has been just an incredible thing for us and in the way of communication. Now let me just kind of show some of the highlights of the last year. The Lord has given us people in key positions during the last year and allowed us to accomplish several milestones. Our board has improved tremendously. In order to have some youth on the board, Scott Melby was elected a year ago. Scott, why don't you stand up so they can see who you are? Scott Melby was elected a year ago to the board, and he has given us some youthful and geographic distribution. Mark Ammerman, who many of you met, has been almost an original core member. Mark is an attorney experienced in Christian organizations. He joined our board in the spring of this year and became the chairman of our board, much to Howard's delight. Bob Beal is a nationally known author and a widely experienced Christian consultant. And he sees something in Crown because he has allowed us to rent him as a non-voting board member, and he's attending our board members, and that's been a tremendous blessing to us. Ralph Fearman has been serving our board as an experienced strategist in council and fundraising, and we're delighted to have Ralph. He's had some good ideas for us. Probably our board has had two meetings in 1993, and we'll have a third in early December. Those were two-day, hard-working meetings, but again, it's a family, and it's a real privilege. Nobody dreads going to board meetings. Probably the most important thing the board has done is we now have a master plan for the ministry. Howard and Bob Beale spent some time doing that and then received input from the field directors and also input from the board. And at our next board meeting, we'll be making, we hope, final revisions. A master plan simply tells us, here are the most important things we're going to do next year, 2 years, 3 years. And it's very important so you can keep your focus. In addition, we've had some exciting things happen in regional staff. John and Julie White have taken the position of U.S. field director, which means that they are now communicating with us who are regional directors. Ted and Joyce Hobby have become the regional directors for Florida. Jim and Kathy Sullivan have taken over the Southern California region, and Ross and Linda Neen are now the regional directors for North Central. And again, I mentioned the majority of our regional directors are serving without any compensation. We have two new city directors this year, Steve and Ruth Ann Rooks in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Steve and Robbie Brooks from Phoenix, Arizona. Also, our best friends, John and Jan Lefevre, will be taking over the directorship of Wichita beginning January 1. We can hardly wait. Almost everyone here, I would say everyone here is a Crown volunteer in some way. You have either led a class or you've served at an orientation or you've babysat and you've done something in the way of a volunteer. Maybe it's been your home. And we don't want to select anybody for special honor because you all are honored and we have thousands like you out there. But there are just a couple of guys that are examples that I just want to mention to you. 4 years ago, a fellow stepped forward in Ventura by the name of Ben Park. And Ben has been serving the ministry as a part of the family there, and it's just been wonderful to see how much fun he's had and how much help he's been to John and Julie White. When John and Julie moved to Sacramento, I know they tried to get Ben to go with them, and so far he hasn't gone, but we wonder maybe if he won't do that. Also, a year ago, a major in the Air Force came to me and said he'd like to serve the ministry. And he figured out he'd like to donate 2 days a week while he has his homeschool the other 3 days. And I said to him, just to show you the kind of a guy he is, I said, what would you like your title to be? Oh, he says, I don't need a title. And I said, well, I think you probably do. And he said, well, just call me servant to the ministry. And that's John Wickham and Nancy back there. John has served us 2 days a week and been a great help. You might be interested to know, what are the finances? How big is Crown? In 1992, our total income was about $700,000. In 1993, we're projected at $1 million. Some of the income comes from material sales. Some comes from donations to headquarters and field staff. This includes all of our income to all of our field staff. And some comes from foundation gifts. With some of this income, we've been able to upgrade the computer system at headquarters and to put in this wonderful voicemail system. And much to Howard's delight, we've been able to have a bit of a cash balance in the bank so that when we need to order materials, we can do that. Also this year, we decided to have a second manual for a spouse, so that any spouse that takes a course needs to each have their own manual, and we've had good response to that. Now, you might be interested to see how Crown has grown from those first original five guys. It's been interesting. It's been steady. But our first year, we had 13 groups and 80 students. This year, we'll have roughly 11,600 students, for a total of approximately 42,000 students have gone through Crown. We figure that the number of family units that have graduated is about 22,000. Now, I think all of you have heard our vision, that in each city where we go, we are praying that 10,000 families will go through the study and at a minimum eliminate $10,000 of debt, which is $100 million per city of debt. and that they'll be freed then to give to the body of Christ. Now, during this year, one of the most interesting milestones is that we have taken some church surveys. One church took its own survey. In another church, we took a survey. And it's interesting that the average amount of debt that's been eliminated in one of our surveys was $20,700. Now, that's not when people took Crown. Some of them took it 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, last week. But the point is, the average was about double what we pray for. Now, of course, the people that went deeper into debt, they didn't, you know, respond to the survey. But let's say for a minute that the average was $10,000. What this means is that we really, with 20-some thousand families, we've really finished two cities. And if they have only gotten out of debt of $10,000, and you all read the evaluations, you know what happens in your class, I have no doubt that the average person taking Crown gets rid of $10,000 of debt within a reasonable time after they go through. And so what this means is that we have already seen the body of Christ eliminate over $200 million of debt. And interestingly enough, our figures show that the average giving increase has been about $2,300 a family. So this would come out to $46 million of debt so far that you and I and others have eliminated that we're able to give to the body of Christ year after year after year. Interestingly enough, the $2,300 is about 10% of the amount of debt that was eliminated. So it just may be the interest on the debts now being transferred to God's kingdom. You'll be interested to know that we're now in about, I wrote 75 cities, but Howard tells me that we now have Crown planted in about 80 of the 220 cities. So the Lord has been at work. And those are some of the things that He has allowed to happen through you and me and thousands of others. And I think it's really interesting when we talk about our challenges. You know, what do we face? What do we need to pray for? Well, one of our friends early on said every ministry needs two things. It needs men and money. And, of course, we know that we need people. And one of our challenges has been leader retention. I'm sure that as you see what happens to the people that go through the class with you, and as you hear what happens to other people, and as I read hundreds of evaluations every year, I'm just thrilled to death at what happens to people, you know? And then I'm really discouraged when I see that more people don't lead. Everybody needs to take this thing. But I realize that it's in God's timing. And then we remember Matthew 9, 37 and 38, which says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Well, the harvest is plentiful. We have no doubt of that, do we? And the laborers are few, but praise God, out of 6,500 classes, we've had about 13,000 people had to volunteer to lead those classes, so praise God for the few. In addition, we need to pray, of course, for new leaders, and also, you've read Crown Chronicles, you know that we've prayed for some time for a national director of administration, somebody to be the Crown administrator. And would you continue to pray for that with us? In the area of money, you all are aware that the needs of people are growing exponentially. And what's also interesting is that ministries to meet those needs are also growing exponentially. And the demand and need for money to fund those ministries is also growing exponentially. And our needs to fund Crown will continue to grow and will be tested in our faith over and over again as we wait on God to provide in His timing. On behalf of the Crown Board, we all want to thank you all who have given your lives to this ministry, who have given your money to this ministry, and who have been used by God to make it possible. Now, John wanted me to report on the Midwest region, and I only want to say one thing about the Midwest region. We have a man in Wichita who went to a Fellowship of Companies for Christ retreat, and it turned his life upside down. He came back determined to build a Christian business. And the first thing they did was work out a mission statement. Here it is. To honor God always, to help people develop, to pursue excellence, to earn a profit. Now, he's found that he can use Crown in this company to help accomplish these objectives. Can you imagine the CEO of a multi-million dollar organization for 12 weeks at 3 o'clock in the afternoon bringing guys in blue shirts off of the plant floor and taking them through the Crown Ministries course? Ralph was one of those guys he took through. Ralph had been in jail several times for miscellaneous charges. And when he became a Christian, he read at the second grade level. His church got him into a reading program and improved him to the fifth grade level. My friend got him into a Crown Ministries class, and I visited that class in week four, and Ralph had his verse. He had it word perfect. Had a little trouble reading some of the scriptures, but he was in there. He had everything written out and answered. Ralph graduated from the course. Now, he's in an inner-city church, and I tried to get his pastor interested in having Crown. He said, Crown wouldn't work for us. But then Ralph graduated. Pastor said to me, if Ralph can go through Crown, anybody can go through Crown. You should have seen him at our orientation 2 weeks ago. Ralph had the biggest smile you ever saw. He was going to co-lead the Crown class. He has a seminary graduate and his wife in the current Crown class and an engineer. That's what happened in the Midwest. You know, some of you were commenting that you received Dr. Dobson's recent letter and Larry Burkett's recent letter. And one of my friends says that after he gets a letter like that, he goes out and slams the door on the slams the car door on his arm so he'll feel better. You know, the news is terrible, isn't it? But Margene and I have the privilege of working with people like you, of traveling into our region, spending the night in your homes. You move the kids out and put them on the floor or the parents' bedroom or someplace else. Howard knows what I'm talking about, some of you. You know, I've slept on the floor of a walk-up in Chicago, in the floor of the kitchen and covered with my overcoat, but that was what they had, and they were so hospitable to me. And as I go out there and I see these people, the mothers are sacrificially staying home or they've worked out part-time jobs so they can be with the kids. The parents are paying for Christian schooling, or they're providing homeschooling and staying home and giving up their lives, or they're actively involved in their public schools and Moms in Touch or seeing what's going on, trying to have an impact on the public schools. I tell you, that's the hope of our country. God's people are at work, and Margene and I thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to see it. 2 years ago, we had a speaker at our annual conference by the name of Lauren Sanney. Lauren spent a number of years, 50 years, I guess, with the Navigators. And he gave a little talk on leadership, and he said, a leader is one who brings vision, faith, and courage to directed effort. The vision to see what needs to be done, the faith to believe it can be done, and the courage to persevere until it is done. Do any of you have any doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ has sent us such a leader? Why don't you stand and welcome Howard Dayton?
Boy, that was tough. Thanks, brother. You know, George, I've mentioned this to you before. George is the only guy that I know that had history as a major in college and got a Phi Beta Kappa in it. And I have often wondered, what in the world would a guy with a history major do with his life? But he has taught me so much. And just the whole idea of remembering and looking back on your life or the work that God is calling you to just gives you a perspective that you don't get unless you take that time to look back. So I really appreciate that, brother. I've probably struggled more in anticipation of this annual retreat than I ever have before in the other five. I think part of it is because the people that God has brought to Crown that are out here, some people that I've been praying about for a long time or just recently been exposed to, who I really feel are just crucial members of the Crown family. So And believe me, I have prayed and struggled with what I am going to personally share with you, and so just bear with me if you would. I had this year, I'll tell you before I do that, let me just try one thing. One thing I've been praying about is that the Spirit of God would really direct us during this time together. So let's see if this is working. Why don't you, if you got a piece of paper and a pencil, why don't you just grab something and let's just try to see if the Spirit of God will speak to us. Pick a number between 1 and 99. No, I think the Lord's saying between 1 and 9. Pick a number and write it down. Multiply that number by, oh, I think the Lord's saying multiply it by 9. Go ahead and multiply that number by 9. Next, add those two digits together. And let's let's subtract 5. Go ahead and subtract 5. I think that's what the Spirit of God's saying. Now let's take that number and go to the letter of the alphabet that matches that number. If it's a 1 would be A, 2 would be B, 3 would be C, so on. Pick a country that starts with that letter. Now take the third, no, let's take the second, I think the Spirit of God is saying, let's take the second letter of that country and name a mammal that starts with that. Now put down the color of that. Now, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many Denmark do we have? Well, I think the Spirit's really beginning to move, don't you? Oh, it's incredible when you follow the Spirit of God, isn't it? Emmer ducks, man. I had 3 meetings this year that really had an impact on me. You still can't believe that, can you? I mean, I had 3 meetings this year that God ordained that really had an impact on me. The first was in January. I went to a Campers Crusade weekend, and they had men and women from around the country and the world who had visited other parts of the world and had seen what Christ was doing and moving in so many different cultures. I sat next to the Latin American director for Campers Crusade, and I found myself weeping about half the time I was there. And in my discussions with him, asked him what was happening in Latin America in terms of equipping the body of Christ to handle money and what were the needs. And basically, the needs were even more than the United States, and essentially there was nothing being done. And I feel like God is saying to us, ultimately, not right away, but ultimately, that we should have a vision to have an impact on the body of Christ around the world. And this past year, it was really special for the Lord to give us kind of the down payment or the deposit on seeing that happen. Tom and Mary Helbig, and why don't you two guys stand up. Tommy went through the crown study with me in 86 and went down to Guatemala 89 with their family and tried to get crown started. There was just a closed door. Went through a process of 1 year just crying out to God in prayer that the Lord in His time and His way would open the door. And through Jorge Rodriguez, and I'd love you to stand if you would, Jorge. Jorge is one of the pastors at Verbo Church in Guatemala City, a church of about 8,000. They've actually got, I guess, 27 churches in 8 or 9 countries in Latin America. Opened their church to Crayon. They've got 10 studies that are groups that are currently going on, and Jorge just brought with him from Guatemala City 5 sets of the material in Spanish. They've translated them, they've bound them, they've taken the leader's guide and or the leader's tape translated into Spanish, and it's just really special to see what the Lord has begun to do. And if y'all have an opportunity, I would really encourage you to chat with those two. They're just special people. The second meeting that was really important to me personally was a brief lunch I had with Bruce Wilkerson, who's the president of Walk Through the Bible. He'd never met me. I didn't know much about Crown other than he'd heard a couple things from staff members that had gone through the study. And he said, "I don't know exactly where you are in your ministry, but let me tell you how God deals with ministries. It's a ministry that his hand is on doesn't grow in an uninterrupted bell curve. It's more like stairs. And he said, what'll happen is you'll have a rapid growth till about $1 million of income, and then you'll hit a plateau. And then you'll go up to $3 to $5 million, you hit another plateau. And then you'll go on up. And he said, those plateaus, if you don't understand it, can be very frustrating. Because here you are, you're doing the same things you've been doing, but there won't be any growth. He said, those plateaus are God-given. And those plateaus are for you to build your foundation. Now, I used to be in the real estate development business, and I know when, at least in Orlando, when you build an office building that's a couple stories high, all you have to really do in terms of the foundation is dig this little footer. It's about a foot wide, about a foot deep. You put in two or three of these, you've seen those little bars of steel, little rebar, about 5/8 inch, pour the cement, and that's it. Well, you know what happens when you want to build a 50-story building. You use an entirely different foundation. You know, have you ever gone to New York or one of those places where they're digging the foundation? There's a big hole and lots of I-beams and concrete and everything else being poured down. And I think that that's what the Lord has for us, that he wants us to build our foundations deep. And really, that's the one word that I would use to describe where Crown is today. It would be foundations. That's where God's got us. And foundations really in three broad elements. As George mentioned, one foundation would be the administrative, the structure, the systems, the technology, all that sort of thing. The second foundation or part of that foundation would be what I would call the core Crown materials. This year we were fortunately able to completely revise the leader training video and the first 12 pages of the leader's guide to the point where I believe that all of our core materials, and those would be the materials that would be necessary to have the small group impact go very rapidly in terms of the materials, are done with the exception of two. The first is the city manual, and that would be the track for the person who is implementing Crown in the city to run on. And the second would be a video to help train the church coordinator and upgrade our, revise the church manual. I think once we've got those two done, and we hope to do that next year, then that will complete our foundation of the core materials. Now, the third foundation is you, people. The people are the most important foundational element. And it's been encouragement to me to see the Lord begin to answer a prayer that I had on January 1 of this year. And that was that the Lord would give us an average of one key person on our staff each month. George already mentioned a number of the field staff people that Lord has brought to us, and I wanted to be sure to introduce some of the folks at headquarters. Jack Kelly. Jack, why don't you stand up, brother, if you would. Jack has tremendous experience in the area of personnel, has been a personnel manager of a large, rapidly growing grocery chain, and this year has volunteered 2 days a week at headquarters, and I can't tell you if there's one guy who's been blessing me personally, it's been Jack Kelly. More recently, the Lord has brought Sean Murphy. Sean, where are you? Sean has been a pastor for 12 years and just joined our staff 2 weeks ago. and is going to be a tremendous asset to us. I'm just thrilled that Sean's part of the Crown team at headquarters. And recently, Bill Bubbers, who I've known forever. Where are you, Billy? Where's my surfing buddy? Thank you. Billy and his wife, Carolyn, are both CPAs, and he is now the treasurer of the ministry and just brings tremendous gifts to us. I also wanted to make sure that everybody knew that there was a Steve Brooks and a Steve Rooks, one in Grand Rapids and one in Phoenix, who are on are full-time with us in both those cities. The third meeting I had was with Scott Melby and his father-in-law, Karen's daddy, Paul Johnson, for about an hour during the CBMC National Conference. Paul Johnson is a fellow who's had a lot of experience serving the body of Christ. He's been the president of Walk Through the Bible Board, chairman of the board of Moody, chairman of the board of CBMC, is well aware of what Crown's about. And during the time together, which was about an hour, he said, must have been at least a half dozen times, because, as George mentioned, you've got so many scriptures, and so much of God's word is laced through the study, that it's on God's heart to propagate this thing. And he wants it to grow more than you do. And I just have taken great comfort in that statement. He wants it to grow more than you do. You know, we have a part. God has a part. Now, our part is to pray. Our part is to work. And then our part's to rest, allowing God to put the groups together, allowing God to raise up the laborers as he will in his time. And so I just wanted to share that with you. You know, I was the first city director in Orlando before Tommy Beck came on the scene, and Crown was starting to grow rapidly, and I had in my heart the desire and the expectation to have 45 groups in one series, and we had 40, and I just was a dismal failure in my eyes. So I just want each of you, wherever you are, whether it's Wairika or wherever you are, just take heart. Do your part. Be faithful to do your part. Be faithful to pray. Then rest as Christ really pulls the thing off. There have been a couple of things that, besides Paul Johnson's statement, that have really affirmed that to me. In my travels this last year, I was really touched being in Grand Rapids with Steve Rooks and Ruth Ann, and seeing God really have his hand on the work in Grand Rapids in western Michigan with Steve Delisio and the Mabrys in Anchorage, Alaska, of all places. And you guys don't know this, but Don Tosher and I are in the process of getting a proposal together for a pretty significant Catholic initiative. And the key player was a fellow from Orlando who's the head of the National Catholic Stewardship Council, who went out to Anchorage in February, of all places, at all times. And while he was out there, somebody came up and told him about Crown Ministries. And then when Don walked in the door to tell him that we had the small proposal that we were going to make, that was the event that really gave Don credibility. So it's amazing how the Lord works. Fred Bumpus in California, I think God is really moving through Fred in Ventura County. And spending time with Ross and Linda in Minneapolis, there have been breakthroughs in that community. Dana Bacon, we were out in Oregon to meet Dana and Sherry in a town of 7,000, the booming metropolis of Wairika, California. 0.5% of the entire city went through Crown last year. And they have a vision to have a strategic impact on their community. Wayne Wallace Brooks and Donnie and Peggy Myers in Jacksonville, and the Fishers in the Washington, D.C. area, who have all been faithful for a period of time, and just to see cumulatively what is on God's heart and what can happen. George mentioned the survey And I'd like to just give you some statistics for one second. I don't want to bore you, but they're encouraging. At First Presbyterian Church of Orlando, the church conducted a survey, and really to quantify what the Crown Study had meant to the folks as they'd gone through the study. Let me just give you the results. 86% had reduced debt, 71% increased their savings, giving increased an average of 98%. So giving doubled after going through the study. 23% more had wills, prayer life, 54% increased their prayer life, 57% increased their Bible study time, 65% served others more, and lifestyle changes were made by 96% of the folks going through the study. That's why it's on God's heart. You know, the foundation of people is not only quantity, it's quality. And really, the Crown family, we want to establish the environment that will encourage people to go closer and deeper in their relationship with Christ. That's what we're really all about. As we grow individually in our relationship with Christ, the Lord will have more freedom to work in a significant way. I'd just like to end by, and I know some of you have heard this, but I'd like to share it with you, that in 1977, when I was finishing writing Your Money, Frustration, or Freedom, I was in the kitchen, Bev, and the kids weren't at home, the Spirit of God overcame me. I found myself prostrate on the kitchen floor, crying my heart out, and through the book of Esther, when Mordecai speaks to Esther, he says, "Who knows, but you may have been called for such a time as this." And the Lord reaffirmed that through that same passage in 1984 when I was struggling with whether or not the Lord wanted me to launch out and start in Crown. But, you know, this last few months, I've really taken a hard look at that verse. And I don't think it was for me alone. I think it was for the Crown family. You know, who knows, but you may have been called. I think it's for everyone who's called to be part of the Crown family, called for such a time as this. You know, what time do we live in? I'm not much of a bumper sticker freak, but there's something Bev and I have noticed the last 3 months. There is an increased hostility toward the people of God, and the bumper stickers are beginning to display that. In our office complex, there's a person who parks that has a cross with a circle around and a big slash through it. Bev saw one with the sign of the fish, the same thing, a circle with a slash through it. When Bev and I were going to the airport to come out here, it's the first time I've seen this, but on the back of a car, it said, "Witch's Heel." Then they had the insignia of the fish. Inside the insignia of the fish was the name Darwin, with a couple little legs growing down the fish. I mean, it was just, this is going to be an interesting time over the next few years that you and I live in. And I'm not sure that God wants Crown to grow only to help people financially. I'm beginning to think that his ways and his intent is much broader than we could think. You know, you've experienced the life change in your groups that it's just not financial. It can touch every area of your life. And for people to recognize in this growing hostility, you know, the children of Israel in the book of Esther, they were in deportation. In slavery in Persia at the time. Their lives were threatened. They were under the sentence of death instigated by Haman. They were in a culture that was hostile to them. But God protected his children and equipped his children. And I think recognizing that a sovereign God is in control of every event, that you have a part to play, that God has a part to play, those may be the principles and truths from God's Word that are more important to people than anything else. That's what I'd like us to do, if we could, is just for a moment stand, and if you just hold each other's hands, and let me just pray for us, and then I'll ask Jim Sullivan to come up. Lord God, we do just thank you, Lord, for your mighty majesty, your power, your indescribable person, your holiness, your love for us, God. Lord, you love us so much, we can't possibly comprehend the totality of that. Father, as Liston prayed earlier, God, I pray that each of us would have our hearts open to what you like us to teach us during this time, Lord. And I pray everyone would go away with something that you have for them. Father, I pray that you would touch any person's heart who's called to become more involved as a member of the Crown family. And God, together with these family members, I pray for our country. Lord, I don't know if you've called us to be an instrument to help change the history of our country, but I know you've called us to be an instrument to change the history of many individuals. Lord, and we just ask you for the privilege of doing that in your time, in your way, as broadly and as deeply as you'd like. Lord God, we cry out for our country and really for that matter for the world, Lord, that your spirit would be poured out in an unprecedented way, Father. Bring people to your Son, and once they've come to know him, Lord, allow them to catch the vision of allowing you to be Lord of their lives. We pray this all in the matchless and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.